Hawaiian Shirt Friday. Yes, it's warm enough, and I have declared it so.
Good.
Now, I know it's a little too late, but you know, we'll give you the ground rules on this so that you can know exactly when that's going to be declared. Because, you know, I believe that the whole world would be a better place if we all wore Hawaiian shirts on Friday. You know, peace would break out.
Yes, I believe it would.
You know, it'd just be one of those things. You couldn't even begin to put a value on it.
Do you want me to wear a grass skirt as well?
No. It's unnecessary. Although, if you do that, we're going to be taking a picture and posting it on Facebook. I'm just right there. That's what we're going to be doing. And, of course, I am talking to the non-Hawaiian shirt-wearing producer,
Michael Loudon,
who just took a drink and took a while to tell us what his name was. But we are here. It is a Friday, and we have got some enjoyable discussions ahead for you. Just in a couple of minutes, we're going to be going and talking about the NFL draft and the Lions. And for many people who are Lions fans, they're going, what? What? It's a standard thing. Every year at this time, you hear the same thing out of Lions fans. What?
And so, Matt Millen's not even around anymore to screw up the draft.
Well, it's Martin Mayhew now, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Former player. I'll give him that anyway. But we'll dig into it here a little bit later. I'd love to dig into it now, but, you know, we've got some business to take care of. We do. A little bit later as well, a bill is being discussed that could do two things. Raise the minimum wage in Michigan and block a potential ballot proposal that seeks to raise the minimum wage in Michigan. We'll talk a little bit about that, the ins and outs, the ups and downs, and all of that stuff a little bit later in the program. Before we get to that, though, I want to let you know here sometime during the show, you know, I'm so excited about the movies that are out there, I decided to dig into next week's stash to pull out some movie tickets for people. You know, this one is not even out yet. This one is out next week. I'm so excited about this one.
They're going to get super advanced tickets.
There you go. I mean, you're going to have tickets before anybody else even realizes you need tickets. And this is for Million Dollar Arm. Have you seen the previews for this? Disney's putting this one out. It's a baseball movie. Scout goes to India to discover the next great pitchers to play baseball.
And it would make sense. They play cricket over there, so
exactly.
They're throwing a ball just like in baseball.
Exactly. So, I mean, it's a movie about what happens when he does that and the after effects. And it's the kind of movie that if you're into sports, you can go. And you know what? You can take your significant other because it could be a good date movie as well, from what I've seen. And Disney put it out, so it's probably okay to take the kids as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got two tickets for that. Doesn't even open until next Friday, but I want to help you plan ahead. That far ahead. So, two tickets for that. There you go. We've got those ready to go. I'm going to be giving those away a little bit later in the program. And because Michael's here and he wants to cause a fuss, he has some dumb, stupid, ridiculous trivia that he's going to be asking. I don't know why. He does it. I don't know. But he's going to be doing it anyway. So, you get to look forward to that. Also, video of the day. You know, I'm a sucker for a good parody. And yesterday we did the parody, Talk Nerdy to Me. Today, this is a takeoff of one of the songs from Frozen. Do you want to go to Starbucks? I mean, it's one. Basically, if anybody's in college, they're going to understand this. Or if you went to college, you're going to get it because there are times when you need a little caffeine. And let's face it, there are times when anybody needs it. So,
well, unfortunately, I don't drink coffee. I think I have a natural adrenaline of caffeine or in me.
Oh, okay. So you just spring out of bed every morning.
Yep.
Oh, that'll change. Anyway, age happens a little later.
So then I'm going to need coffee, is what you're saying?
Oh, yes. Oh, my yes. I'll just tell you that. Yes, without a doubt. So if you're into the coffee thing, do you want to go to Starbucks? No, I'm not asking. That's the name of the video. So check it out. It's in the blog section, WKZO.com. It's just below the news area. Or check out our Facebook page. We are posting it there. And if you're not already one of those that like the WKZO Facebook page, you can do so very easily at WKZO.com. Click on the link and hit like. you're done, basically. And then you get everything that we do on Facebook right there in your feed. Just that simple and easy. And you get these videos every day. So if you happen to miss out on me telling you about it one day, it's right there for you. Real easy. So we wanted to talk a little bit about the draft. I mean, this is for anybody that is into football at all. I mean, this is kind of like Christmas in July, if you will, you know, even though it's in May. But the draft, and with the draft, I mean, there have been so many interesting things. There's been talk for weeks and weeks and weeks. Who's going number one? That one was not a surprise. The Texans decided we need a defensive end. They got Jadeveon Clowney. Interestingly enough, the last time that a defensive end went number one in the draft, they were selected by the Houston Texans, and it was Mario Williams. So they just have this thing for when they get in that opening position, let's get a defensive end, you know. Beyond that, Manziel, did his name come in the draft? Not for a while. Not until further down. You saw I saw a run on offensive linemen in the opening round of the draft. And with what the Browns were doing, I thought I was watching Draft Day, the movie, you know, Kevin Costner and all mm-hmm. that. The only thing I can assume is that they quietly hired Kevin Costner as their general manager because, okay, they trade down, then they trade up one. Then with their second first-round pick that they got, they trade up, what was it, five or six. I was just scratching my head there and scratching my head over who they selected. Because while a little bit later they traded up to get Manziel, they could have gotten him without trading up. And they selected a corner back rather than getting a target for Manziel, which they could have gotten easily. It's the Browns. They have managed to screw themselves up again, which makes Lions fan everywhere feel very good. Because once again this year in the draft, Lions fans everywhere are going, what? Come on, what? And I'm an outside observer. I am not a Detroit Lions fan, and I dare I say I'm probably in the majority that are not Detroit Lions fans. I looked at this pick and scratched my head a little bit. Like, okay, I get it. Top tight end in the draft. You need a tight end. Okay, I get that. But don't they need, like, defense and lots of it?
They're hoping just that the defense will turn around itself. They're hoping for a miracle.
The only thing that I figure based on this pick, and you know, it's a tight end. They'll use him, sure. It's another target for Stafford, but the only thing I can figure is that the Lions think they're an arena football team. That, you know, they need this high-powered offense. They can throw to several targets and have no defense because, you know, the score at the end is going to be like 63-58 or something, you know.
Point a minute, team. There you go.
I'm thinking that's probably what they're thinking. You know, and they do play inside. But, you know, somebody needs to tell Detroit the field's 50 yards longer. I don't know, but So that'll be interesting to see how that plays out for the Lions. I got to scratch my head on this one. And the reason I scratch my head is Denard from Michigan State was available at that particular pick. They could have got him. They were projected to get him. He would have been explosive for them. And I was thinking, all right, it's a done deal. The Lions are going to take him. I have a team, which I have mentioned before on this show, that I pull for that was a little further down in the draft. They ended up getting him. Which, you know, as a Bengals fan, I couldn't be more thrilled. But Lions fans are probably sitting here going, what?
We didn't draft defense again.
So, another target for Stafford, which you go, okay. If you're Stafford, you're going, all right. Throw to the guy that we got in the offseason. Nah, okay. Throw to the unproven tight end. Nah. Throw to Megatron. Aha! There. Will things change at all? I doubt it. Because let's face it, Megatron's over there. You throw him the ball, he'll be in triple coverage and he'll catch it. But then you have other targets, I guess. I don't know. Maybe there's some thought there behind it. I don't know.
We'll have to just wait and see what happens this next season.
You know, it's not because I've watched the Lions off and on throughout the years, you know, even through the Matt Millen years. And just watching them then was humorous to sit here and go, another wide receiver. How do you like that? And, you know, they've done decent over the years. Stafford was a pretty good pick. But, you know, lest we forget Joey Harrington, of course. So this one, I don't know. I mean, we'll have to see how it all turns out. Everett could be good. Could be a good tight end. They need one, most certainly. But why they didn't take defense, I don't know. I'm scratching my head on that one. The other thing, though, I mean, this has got to speak well for Michigan State, though, that Denard was considered one of the top corners in the draft and that he got taken in the first round. I mean, for Michigan State fans, you know, it's gone from the idea of Michigan State has a strong basketball program, and oh, by the way, we play football too, but nobody goes. It goes from that to Michigan State has a great basketball program and a great football program, and this kind of thing proves it. Because you got Denard being picked in the first round and valued highly. I mean, everything that, according to the, there was a story on MLive, and according to the press there, they talk about, you know, the way the Cincinnati Bengals valued him. They said that he was in their top 10 among players that they figured were going to be gone. So they were tickled to death to be able to get him. And you got to figure that what Mark D'Antonio has built in East Lansing for Michigan State, I mean, this is just kind of a way of giving him props for doing what he's doing well. Because, you know, the world is on notice now that guess what? There's a team that's in East Lansing, and they put on helmets and shoulder pads.
Yes, he's done a great job. They've built a very good program up there. They have a stifling defense almost every year in and out now. I mean, they won the Rose Bowl this past year against Stanford. So it's a great Big Ten school.
Well, and they were the underdogs in the Big Ten championship game. And just to – I saw some video on Denard, and let me tell you, I mean, he reached in with one hand and intercepted a pass in that game. Incredible. Incredible talent. But I think, you know, it speaks well for what Mark D'Antonio is building there in East Lansing. And, you know, it's going to be, it goes nowhere but up at this point, I think. Because, you know, there's going to be an awful lot of people that are going to be looking towards East Lansing as the new power in Michigan versus, you know, that other school over there.
Oh, yeah, that's the school I like.
Yeah, we won't bring it up too much, though. But the Spartans have got to be pretty happy at this point because, you know what? One of their own going to end up being in the NFL, might very well end up starting in Cincinnati, which is a big props to what they're doing there in East Lansing. If you'd like to talk about the draft, talk about if you're a Lions fan scratching your head going, what? Give us a call. We don't mind. 382-4280. We'll commiserate with you, really. Maybe you think it's a good pick. You know, it's not a bad pick. It really isn't. You can give us a call and talk about it. 877-382-4280 if you'd like to be on toll-free as well. Or you can text us, 803-73, as we talk about this here for a little while. And we are going to go to the phones here. It looks like Jose is on the line. Welcome.
Oh, my Lord. What did the Lions do? Like every year, though, it just—it doesn't make any sense. They always go for offense, always. Man, they need help in the safety in our safety area and our defense. I mean, I can care less if you score 53 points, but if you give up 63, doesn't make any sense.
You know, I hear you. And at that point in the draft, I mean, you had you know, certainly Denard, and he would have been one that would have brought in some people
wanting to see him. Oh my Lord, Denard! Of course, Denard, one of the best in Michigan State.
Or Clinton Dix as a safety. I mean, that one would have made some sense. I mean, the Packers got a steal with him.
Yeah. You know how they fired the coach from the Lions last year?
Oh, yeah.
Jim Schwartz. You know that everybody I should have followed right behind him. I think the whole front office got to go. I think it needs to be a change. I'm sick and tired of every year the same thing. You know, they got so much potential, mm-hmm. and the type of players that they have, you know, so much potential. It, every year is a disappointing. Disappointing, and especially for the city of Detroit, it really means a lot, you know? You know, the Tigers and the Red Ones can't do it all by themselves. And it's the same old thing. Same old thing every year. Very disappointing. I'm not saying that he's not a good player, Ebron. Mm-hmm. We did not need a tight end. It wasn't a necessity. We needed a safety. We needed a cornerback. We needed a defense. And very disappointed at the pick. A good player. I'm not talking bad about the guy. It's just that the Lions not thinking ahead, not thinking about defense. And you can't do that.
Well, you know, I got to wonder, though, I mean, because this is everything I've heard about this draft is that it's a relatively deep draft. So I got to think that with this draft, they might be looking second and third round to pick up somebody in the secondary. I mean, would it help as much as a Denard or somebody like
no,
that?
No, not
probably
really.
Not. No, but it's something anyway.
But they're going to pick somebody who's not going to be pick at all in 144 pick or something like that. I mean, they're not going to be bad either. But my Lord, you got the top six. You had a chance to take one of the best cornerbacks, and on this draft, and you just passed it on. You know, it's very disappointing.
But
I hope they get somebody good.
You got to wonder. I mean, this guy, I think he's going to be a pretty good tight end, good target for Stafford, but. You know, they haven't used the tight end effectively to this point. I really don't see that changing. I mean, they're not going to change their offensive plan for this. So, you know, you got to wonder.
All right. Well, thank you. I hope they get somebody good tonight.
All right. Well, we'll just have to see. Thanks for calling.
Yeah.
Appreciate
thank
it. 382-4280, 877-382-4280. You know, I mean, the draft is always so interesting. And, you know, I think one of the big stories of this, look over this list if you get the opportunity. Look at, you know, one of these draft trackers. Look at the first round and take a look to see what happened at the quarterback position. I mean, the Jaguars, they take the first quarterback of the draft, Blake Bortles. Perfect sense right there. Made a lot of sense. Go with a quarterback. This is your future in Jacksonville. And they needed him.
Yes, they definitely did.
Now, look down the rest of the first round. Next quarterback, Cleveland selecting Johnny Manziel. Decent selection. Of course, they traded up needlessly, I thought, to get him. He was like, oh, well, yeah, let's trade up a few. Because, you know, look at, I mean, they were at, what, 26? The Chargers, Bengals, Chiefs were not going to select a quarterback.
No, no need there.
There was no need in any one of those. The only thing they figured is, well, maybe they need, you know, maybe Cincinnati needs a backup for Andy Dalton. I don't know. I mean, it's Cleveland. You never understand that. But you know, Manziel at that point, and then you got to give a tip of the hat to the Vikings because they saw that Bridgewater was going to fall out of the first round, and they said, aha, here's our opportunity. And you knew they were looking. You know, so they jumped to the end of the first round, do a trade with the Seahawks, who basically need nothing, and get a quarterback. So you got a tip of the hat there, but three quarterbacks went, but a couple of them lower in the draft than what was expected. I mean, Manziel at one point was being talked about as consensus first pick of the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they even talked about it, the Texans. Oh, yeah, that would be a good choice. Mm-hmm. You got to think from a Texans standpoint, because, you know, they've got the next pick, that this whole thing the Vikings just pulled off, they're sitting here going, dope!
They're going to take a quarterback, I guarantee it.
They will, but you got to wonder if they're going to take a quarterback with this next selection. And it's tonight they get underway at 7 o'clock. I don't know that they're going to do that because I think there's a fall off after you get past these guys.
Well, I figure they're going to. They're probably either going to take Derek Carr or Jimmy Garoppolo or Tom Savage, one of those three.
Well, Savage would probably be the best choice, I think, of those. But, you know, Carr, they did that before.
That didn't work out very well.
That didn't work out so well. I can't imagine the Texans going for that again. Just me. So the draft, it always makes your head scratch. You just scratch your head a little bit, particularly if you're a Lions fan going, what? Again? I heard you. I know. I know how you feel. I feel your pain. Not really, but I'm trying to help. The NFL draft, it's a treat, it's a chore, it is headache-producing if you're a certain fan of certain teams.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, I guess, you know, hopefully for Lions fans, it turns out a little better when the second and third round comes around tonight. Who knows what'll happen?
One can only hope.
So, their picks are coming up, though. Should be interesting to see who they end up with. We'll keep an eye on it. We will talk weather here in just a little bit. Bob Larson, scheduled to speak with him. Tell you what the weekend's going to look like. Keep it right here. WKZO, 75 degrees in Kalamazoo, and this portion of the program brought to you by Bronson in honor of Nurses Week. Bronson is thanking nurses throughout the region. Visit bronsonhealth.com/daisy to thank a Bronson nurse. Well, after the weather we've been having, you might want to thank a weatherman. So now we have our opportunity to do so, particularly on a Friday. Bob Larson, we're going to make your day a really good one.
Well, that's nice.
Just by saying thank you for all this great weather.
You enjoy the warm-up?
Oh, just immensely. I was out taking a run and actually broke a sweat.
I could believe that.
I broke a major sweat while running yesterday.
Especially toasty yesterday. Absolutely. 87 was the actual high temperature yesterday afternoon.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that because we actually ended up hitting 90 here at the studio. So I wanted to find out, had we broken that?
No,
so,
87.
Not quite.
We did not get to 90.
Okay.
87. And real quick, not to take too much time of this, and the old George Carlin joke used to talk about at the airport. Is, why do they talk about the airport? No one lives at the airport. Official temperatures traditionally are kept at the airport and or at universities. And official temperatures are measured. You have to have an instrument shelter that has to be properly ventilated. It has to be shaded.
Mm-hmm.
Official temperatures are kept in the shade. No sunlight whatsoever is to be beaming directly onto the thermometer sensor. It's got to be 100% shaded. Can't be up against the side of a building because you get warmth to radiate out and off the building. Can't be partially inside a window. Can't be under a tree. Everything's got to be specified just right. And officially and technically, we got to just 87 yesterday. I say that because your unofficial thermometers, like bank thermometers, like thermometers that we often have at radio stations or at schools or on the back porch or at your home, you know, they break many rules and many violations when it comes to temperature readings, and they tend to lead to some discrepancies and inaccuracies. So there's a difference.
Which is why we listen to you, Bob. So, well, looking ahead at the weekend and looking to see, all right, what's it going to be like? What's the best bet for outside activity?
Well, you know that tomorrow's the best day of the weekend when it comes to the weather, although Sunday's the warmest day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a bit of a trade-off. I guess choose your, you know, it depends upon your taste. Tomorrow's a partly sunny day, breezy, and about 70.
Okay.
And in Sunday, Mother's Day, upper 70s toward 80 again, but it'll become cloudy, and there could be an afternoon shower, thunderstorm. So if you're willing to risk the idea of a scattered shower and thunderstorm, maybe Sunday is your day because 80 might be a little more desirable than 70. Me personally, I like sunshine in 70, but I guess it's to each his own.
There you go. All right. Now, looking ahead to next week, I had heard at one point that we were going to have a cool down. Is that still true, or is that changed?
Yeah, it's not coming till the end of next week.
Okay.
And specifically next weekend.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Before it cools down, it is going to warm up again. How much so? How about back into the 80s again, Monday and Tuesday?
Mm-hmm.
And some thermometers may be flirting with 90 again by later Monday or Tuesday. But officially, I think we settle for mid-80s.
Okay.
Then it cools down and cools down substantially by next weekend to the point where we could have a couple of nights with lows in the 30s.
Hmm.
Wow. Strike that from the record. Forget I said that. We'll focus more on that later down the road.
What was that you said, Bob?
No,
I don't think I heard that.
Nothing. Hmm. But again,
nobody wants to hear that.
The cool down's not coming until the end of next week and next weekend. Before that happens, it warms up again.
All right. Okay, well, with all of this weather and warm temperatures and things that that we're ignoring, what is the word that you've selected for us today?
The word ignoring, I love it. The word is change, and the first change takes place heading into the weekend as we're, it's even happening today with it, with some showers that have been in the area. We're not completely through with that. There's a shower, thunderstorm activity just to our south and west right now. It's just going through the South Bend, Indiana area. This is scattered. Not everyone's going to get wet, but there's still some activity out there. And then it cools down overnight, and tomorrow's cooler, but not bad. Then it warms up again Sunday and becomes much warmer again Monday and Tuesday. So a whole lot of changes come at us weather-wise here over the next several days, some good, some not so good, and some much-needed rain. We're still drawing an overall deficit of rain. We've got opportunities for rain on and off for the next over the next week, and we'll be catching up to that. Catching up to normal, which leads to the numbers.
Yes, yes.
First off, for the year, last year at this point, we were about a half degree colder than average for 2013 through May 9th. This year, we're still more than 6.5 degrees colder than average, despite yesterday's excessive warmth. The year as a whole is still far below average temperature-wise. It's also far below average rainfall-wise. We're about 2.5 inches below, so that's why I said we're going to be catching up in the rain department over the next week. Last year at this point, we were 4.75 inches above average when it came to rainfall. For the month, last May, that first week of May last year, was 10.5 degrees warmer than average. This year, even with yesterday's warmth, we're still more than 2 degrees cooler than average for the month of May. Both last May and this May have been below average rainfall-wise, but check back in a week and we'll be changing that a bit.
Okay. Well, Bob, you have yourself a great weekend.
Thanks, Jeremy.
All right. Okay. Bob Larson from AccuWeather, keeping you in the know and on track for what's going to be happening this weekend. You know what? If you want to get out and go for a run, I'm suggesting tomorrow.
I will be doing that tomorrow.
You know, tonight might not be too bad either if you can, you know, dodge a few raindrops or something like that.
I'm a little busy tonight, unfortunately.
Whatever your pleasure may be. So all of that sounds decent to me anyway. Going to be talking more with you, going to talk draft and some other things as we continue. Jeremy Lawrence Show, 590 WKZO. It's 353, 75 degrees in Kalamazoo. 590 WKZO, the Jeremy Lawrence Show here on the station. Glad you had the opportunity to be with us. You know, I did one thing last night that I think many of you probably did not do. I deliberately avoided the draft. And I have a reason for that. Because, first of all, you know, if you watch on ESPN, which an awful lot of people did, apparently they broke records for how many people to watch this thing, you get to see five talking heads that have no idea what they're talking about at any given moment.
And one of them is Mel Kiper, right?
Yeah, I mean, this guy, I don't know how in the world he continues to make money.
I'm with you on that.
I mean, every year he's got this, well, I come out with a list, here's my mock draft, here's this, here's that, and I'm confident in this. And it never turns out. It never does. I mean, it's you know, one of these things, I don't understand how he continues to work. But, you know, to me, the whole thing of watching teams I hate, making trades and or picking players that I wanted for my own team, that's not fun. And for years, and you understand this, I was a Bengal fan and have been for many years, my team, during the draft, made moves as boneheaded as the Lions have made over the years. So when I do say, when I say I feel your pain, I know what it is. Trust me.
Yeah, you had to deal with Akili Smith.
that goes back to, because that was the same year that Ricky Williams was drafted. And Mike Ditka offered his entire draft in exchange for moving up to select Ricky Williams. Every one of the consultants, and I agreed with him on this one, they said, you know, we're not watching a draft here. We're watching a firing. That's what we're watching.
That was a really boneheaded move.
It was. And to me, more boneheaded still, my team at that point had the number 3 pick in the draft, could have traded and gotten a whole huge amount of players, and instead, no, we want to take this quarterback. And he wasn't good, and he was never good. He was good for 1 year in college. That was it. And he got his payday, and since that time, he's moved on to, I don't know, what is he doing?
Who even knows what he's doing?
Selling fish door-to-door. I have no idea. But and that actually describes pretty effectively what an awful lot of the Lions draft picks have been doing. Tell me what Joey Harrington's doing these days.
I have no idea.
I mean, I'm thinking either Arena League, or I'm thinking, you know, probably selling insurance or something. I don't know.
And who knows what Charles Rogers is doing, mm-hmm. Roy Williams, Mike Williams.
Mike Williams is still in the game, isn't he?
Oh, wait a minute. I think he's with Tampa Bay.
Yeah, he's like on his 5th team now or whatever. I don't know. But yeah, the rest of them, you kind of go, okay. And nothing against these guys. You know, sometimes you're going to draft and you're going to get a legitimate bust. Somebody that just, they don't pan out. And everything that you saw indicated they were going to be good. And guess what? No, they weren't.
Jamarcus Russell, I mean.
There you go, yeah. Jamarcus Russell, great example. But, you know, to me, I guess the only solace that Lions fans could take, two solace here from this. Number one, when the dust settles, Eric Ebron is going to be a good tight end. You know, he's going to be good. He's legitimately decent if they know how to use him. There's the key to part of that is if they know how to use him. And the second thing that Lions fans can take from this is at least we're not Cleveland. Because here's a team that somehow managed to screw up having 2 picks in the first round. No, I mean, they did a pretty good trade with the Bills. I'll give them that one. But then to turn around and go, you know what? We're going to trade up 1 pick to get a corner that we probably could have gotten had we not traded up.
And CBS Sportsline gave that draft pick a C rating.
There you go. Now, Manziel, okay, decent pick. But they traded up 3 over teams that didn't need a quarterback to make sure that they got Johnny Football, who I have read reviews of what he's going to do and that kind of thing, and they've said either boom or bust.
Well, with that offensive line that Cleveland has, he's really going to be scrambling around just like he did in college.
Well, and the funny thing about it is I read something about where they drafted him. That position is the same spot where they drafted Brady Quinn and Brandon Whedon. So if you're a Lions fan, take heart. At least you're not the team in Cleveland, because somehow they've managed to screw up 2 really good picks in the first round. I mean, these guys will be decent, I'm sure, but how is it that you trade down and then trade up a pick when you know you would have gotten the guy anyway? And then you trade up 3 picks when you know you would have gotten the guy anyway.
Well, the Browns want to make headlines somehow, and they figure the draft is where they're going to do it, because once the season starts, no one's going to be talking about them.
Pretty much, yeah. Like I said earlier, the only thing I'm convinced of is Kevin Costner must be their general manager at this point, because they made more moves in the draft last night than he made in the movie Draft Day. I swear I was watching the movie. Well, it's the draft. I mean, the whole thing could change tonight. It could look great for the Lions after tonight.
You never know.
Anything is possible. So take heart. That's all I could tell you. Going to be talking minimum wage here in the next hour as we continue ahead. It's the Jeremy Lawrence Show on 590 WKZO. We gotta go.
This is Kalamazoo's news station and Kalamazoo's home for Detroit Tiger baseball. 590 WKZO, Kalamazoo.